All right. First of all, a good Yom Tov to everyone. So Yutes Kislev tonight. Yutes Kislev is the day. Does anyone have a watch I could use, brother?
Yeah.
The day the Alter Rebbe was.
You don't mind pink.
And my mother always said that real men wear pink. That's it. Oh, shkoyach. Say a little l'chaim.
Amen.
L'chaim, l'chaim. This day, the Alter Rebbe said that anyone that celebrates Yutes Kislev at all, takes part in any celebration, so the Alter Rebbe says that Mish Meshtata B'Simchosi, that takes part in my Simcha, that celebrates my Simcha with me, says he promises to take him out Min HaMeitzer Al HaMerchav, Min HaGeshem Al HaRuch, Min HaGehenem, from a place of smallness to a place of expansiveness, from coarse physicality to spirituality, and from Gehenem. You know, the rest of us have to go to Uman to get that promise. Alter Rebbe says you just have to celebrate Yutes Kislev. So it's also the day that the Rebbe Shabbat is the Rosh Hashanah of Chassidus. It's a Rosh Hashanah. That's mamash. It's a drawing down in this day that all the spirituality that the Jewish people have in an inner way comes from this day of Yutes Kislev. That it was min hashamayim that Alter Rebbe was led out of jail. So he said that means that b'shamayim Hashem allowed, gave the opportunity and gave permission to reveal the secrets of Torah and allowed everyone to connect to it in a deep way. So mamash and the shir of tefillah, it definitely connects to it. So we should get from this day everything that we need. L'chaim.
Amen.
All right. So we have a couple of things that we need to discuss. First of all, it's a shir on tefillah, but it is Yutes Kislev tonight, and it's Erev Chanukah. It's also Erev Chanukah, so we have to connect it to Chanukah. We have to start speaking about Chanukah also. So we have to put all these things together. Obviously, when these different inyanim of tefillah and chanukah, yutes kislev, the truth is that they're really all the same thing, mamash. So, but we're going to speak about tonight, even though they seem to be different things, but they're really very interconnected. But let's start talking about tefillah, because the shir is about tefillah. And, you know, I mentioned to you, as we go along, as we continue, as we go further, we're going to have to start speaking a lot more experientially. I actually just had a conversation very recently with somebody that said that when they daven, you know, it's a very intense davening, and there's a lot of intense feelings that happen, and so this person said that they have a hard time davening sometimes because it's so intense, and, you know, the experience of tefillah is supposed to be intense. So I said to the person that, you know, even though tefillah is supposed to be intense, we're not always on that level to always daven like that, to always make it in such an intense thing. And really, tefillah, one should be able to elect and decide when one wants to have that experience and when one doesn't. Chassidim always had set times that they would daven by themselves, and sometimes they would daven with a minion. So you know, when you daven with a minion, you don't really have time to get too intense. Women don't, you know, they don't usually have, there's no minyanim, but could certainly have that same idea of trying to have times that you really do get into it, and sometimes to not to. But certainly, as we go along, we're going to have to learn how to have the experience of tefillah, but also in a very guided way. Because I think also a lot of people, when you get into tefillah and one is left to what's going on inside oneself, right? You just, if tefillah just becomes just tapping into what is going on inside ourselves, so then it could get stormy, and it could get difficult because sometimes, you know, we have a lot going on. Good things, bad things, mediocre things, whatever. And if we just sort of let that out, remember the cans of worms that they used to make when you were a kid? They'd open that, you give somebody, you gave it, there was like a practical joke, you gave it, and then when you opened it up, the thing popped out. So that happened, you know, the jack in the box. So that happens sometimes when you daven, that since, especially for people that are emotionally sensitive, so what could happen sometimes by davening is that, you know, you sort of, it becomes like a therapy session without a therapist. And that's always dangerous. So sometimes it's also good by davening to have certain ideas and guided meditations and guided ideas what to focus on by davening, because that will sort of, Egypt, the Nile.
Channel,
but I'm looking for the irrigation channel. It will channel that, those emotions, and it will channel all that energy in a way that will be very guided, and in a way that's guided in a positive way to make sure that it happens in a positive way. So as we begin, we're going to go along, we're going to start speaking about specific aspects of tefillah. And as I said in the beginning, we're not just going to be learning vertlich. This class is never going to be about just nice, cute ideas. If anyone ever feels that, just let me know, because then I'm not doing my job. Because that's not what tefillah is. It's not just be ideas about tefillah. It's really supposed to be about how to daven the right way. So the first thing that we really need to talk about really is a general introduction to the experience of what tefillah is supposed to be is one line from the Zohar. It's actually three words from the Zohar. And we're going to mention it tonight. We'll speak about it tonight. And we'll see how it's connected to Chanukah and Yutes Kislev. And as we'll go on, and the weeks go on, Mitzvah Shem, we're going to speak a lot about it. But tonight we'll speak about it in a very general way. The Zohar is in Parshas Vayetze, which was 2 weeks ago we read. And we know that Yaakov Avinu had a dream. Yaakov Avinu, as he was about to go to Charan, as he was on the way to Charan, and you know that Yaakov Avinu going to Charan represents all of us having to deal with life. And when I say deal with life, I mean all of life's challenges and issues, right? We know that Yaakov's sojourn in the house of Lavan is really emblematic of him having to deal with the outside world, having to deal with issues, having to deal with an environment that wasn't conducive not only to spirituality, but even to physical serenity and well-being, right? Inner peace, and what was somebody email? Inner peace, and the island of inner peace, whatever. Charan is the opposite of that. Charan means Charin Afshal Oilam. That's what the Sfarim say, that Charan means anger, right? Charan means Charin Afshal Oilam, means the place of anger. Charan comes from the word which means anger. And anger doesn't just mean when a person is mad, right? Anger is not just mad. Anger is really a feeling of the soul not being calm, right? Anger is one aspect of the soul not being calm. Anger is probably, out of all emotions, it's the soul at its least calm. It's the soul in the most agitated state. Anger is the hardest emotion to control, because essentially what anger is that the soul completely loses any sense of self-control, which is what all emotions are. Emotions are when the soul is moving towards something or away from something. The soul is in a state of response, reflex. That's what emotions are. Emotions are reflexive, as opposed to intellect, which is contemplative, which is you're still in charge of your soul. Emotions are when you're not in charge anymore, when the soul, you know. We all know as Jung said, that emotions are the pagans of the soul, where there's no control. The soul is in a state of agitation. That's what all emotions are. Anger especially is when a person has no control anymore. It's very difficult to calm a person down. So, Charan, when Yaakov was going to Charan, it really means going to a place of Charan Af, of anger, which means he was going to deal with life's issues when the soul is not in a state of calm and serenity. That's what Yaakov's going there was. And you understand that Yaakov, as an introduction to that, as an introduction to his going to Charan, he had this dream, right? Vayachalim, he had a dream. So to speak, that's like the preparation to being able to go to Charan, to being able to deal with life's issues, to being able to go to that place when one is not in control of the soul. What was the preparation? This dream. So it's almost as if Yaakov was being shown, this is what you need to do to prepare yourself, this dream, right? It wasn't just, in other words, the Zohar is going to teach us. What the Zohar is going to say is that the dream wasn't only a promise to Yaakov that he'll be successful. It wasn't just a promise to Yaakov that I'm going to give you the land of Israel, but there was something in the dream which was really a direction. It was really an instruction how to prepare for going to Charan. What did he see in that dream? A ladder. A ladder. And he saw the ladder had a lot of interesting elements to it. Angels going up, angels going down, lots of different things going on. Hashem was standing above it. Hini Hashem nitzav alav. Hashem was standing on the ladder. So there are a lot of different details of the ladder, which maybe later on we'll get to, later, much later on. But the Zohar has three words. Sulam, which is ladder. The Zohar says Sulam, da tzloisa. The ladder is tefillah. Sulam, da tzloisa. The ladder is tefillah. Tzloisa, tzadik, lamed, vav, tof, aleph. It's Aramaic. It means prayer in Aramaic. Tzlota. Tzadik, lamed, vav, tof, aleph. Tzlota. Da, dalet, aleph in Aramaic means this is. Tzlota means tefillah. Right, it's ladder, yeah. Tzulam dotzleisa, that the ladder that Yaakov saw is prayer. And therefore we understand that what the Zohar is saying is that the preparation for dealing with Charan, for the agitations of the soul and everything that we deal with in life, is supposed to be tefillah. So we need to talk about generally tonight, to begin talking about, is what does it mean that tefillah is likened to a ladder? What does that mean, that tefillah is a ladder? It's a sulam. What about tefillah as a sulam? What does that mean? So it's very easy to say, oh, because you ascend spiritually. It's always the best way not to really change. You know what the best way not to change when you learn things? Is to just put like cliches. Throw like cliche words and say, oh yeah, because you ascend spiritually. Right, and that's it, and okay, let's go and let's whip out, Vogue or Elle or something like that. Because as soon as you threw out a spiritual cliche like that, so it means you don't have to really deal with it. You don't have to really understand it. Because, you just put it in the file cabinet, you took one of the things. It's to ascend spiritually, so it's a ladder. So in a sense, it's not enough just to say you ascend spiritually. The truth is, I don't know if you know, in Kabbalah, in the Sifra Kabbalah, any Sephardim here? No Sephardim? All Ashkenazim here? You ever see Sephardi Sidurim? Anyone ever see Sephardi Sidurim? So if you look in the Sephardi Sidurim, which are based on Kabbalah, you'll see this written on the pages over there. Kabbalah teaches that literally tefillah is an ascension of the soul. It doesn't just mean, oh, you ascend spiritually, get maruchnis. It's literal ascension of the soul from one realm to the other. And you literally ascend worlds. There are four worlds, which we're going to speak about Mitzvah Shem at great length. We're going to get to. There are four worlds in ascending order, which you don't have to get them all now on your paper because we're going to get to them when we speak of them at length. But the four worlds are Olam HaAsiyah, Olam HaYetzirah, Olam HaBriyah, and Olam HaAtzilus, which means the world of action, the world of formation, the world of creation, and the world of emanation, which are all, these four worlds are basically all of created reality. Action, formation, creation, emanation. The highest level is when God emanates, then lower than that He creates, then lower than that He forms, and lower than that, He does action. And if you ever seen a Sephardi Siddur, if you ever look at a real Sephardi Siddur, you'll see that they actually write on the top of each page where you're holding. The Arizal writes that from Meida Ani until Baruch Sha'amar is Olam HaAsiyah. It's the world of action. From Baruch Sha'amar until Yishtabach is Olam HaYetzirah, the world of the world of formation. From Yoitzer Or, after Baruch Hu, including Kriya Shema, is all Olam HaBriya, world of creation, and Shmoina Esrei is Olam Atzilus, is the world of emanation. And as far as you do, they actually write that on the pages. Now, obviously, to understand, there's two ways of talking about this, in details and generally. So details, to understand this in detail, we would have to first understand what are these four worlds, which we will, Mitzvah Shem, we'll get to, and how they correspond to the different parts of tefillah. But let's talk about very generally, what does it mean that you ascend to higher worlds? Because that's generally what tefillah is about, is an ascension of the soul to higher worlds. So we need to discuss tonight is what does that mean, to ascend to higher worlds? What does that mean? I mean, you have to say tefillah sederech, oxygen tanks. Like, what does that mean? What does it mean when we speak about Olam Atzilus? Olam Atzilus is the highest world. So how high up is it? I mean, how many miles up is Olam Atzilus? Like, what does it mean to ascend to higher worlds? What does that mean? So that's what we have to discuss, and that's generally the first introduction to tefillah, and it connects to what we've spoken about already, but what does that mean that, in other words, if we want to say, what's the preparation of going to Haran? How do you prepare yourself for the rest of the day? Lovan's house. Everything that a person has to deal with, whether it's PTA meetings or meetings at work or, kids spilling, milk on the carpet, any of these things are all Lovan's house. They're all things that agitate the soul. They're all things that make a person lose a sense of calm and serenity. They're all things that make a person feel distant from God, from people that they love, or distant from yourself, really. That's the ultimate distance, is one person is distanced from themselves. Tefillah is the preparation to be able to deal with that. And what the Zohar is teaching is that is, how do you prepare that? By going up into upper worlds, which sounds a little escapist. What does that mean? What does that mean to go up in higher worlds? So that's what we need to discuss. But let's talk first about Hanukkah. And Hanukkah is going to help us understand what that means. So look at the sheet that you have in front of you. Anyone can tell me what book this is on the top of the page? $67,000, if anyone knows. Anyone know? Sefer Zmanim? It's the Rambam. It's the Mishnah Torah, the Rambam. And the page, the two things that... The, top and the middle are both from the Rambam. You know, the Rambam's book, Mishneh Torah, Rambam's main magnum opus is Mishneh Torah, where he writes the entire oral law. Anyone know another name of the Rambam's book, Mishneh Torah, the nickname of his book? Well, Shulchan Aruch is based on the Rambam. Shulchan Aruch was written based on the Rambam. Rabbi Yosef Karo wrote the Shulchan Aruch. But the Rambam itself has another name. There's 14 books of the Rambam. Mishneh Torah has a very good. Yad HaChazaka. Yad HaChazaka, the strong hand. Why is it called the Yad HaChazaka? It's based on the end, at the very end of the Chumash, when Moshe Rabbeinu dies. So it says, Ulechol HaYad HaChazaka, Moshe Rabbeinu's strong hand. That's the very last pasuk in Chumash. So as I connect it to the Rambam's name is Moshe. So Yad HaChazaka, and Yad is 14. Because the Mishneh Torah has in it 14 different books. If you ever went to Tveria, to where the Rambam is buried, they made a beautiful, it's beautifully built over there. The way that his kever is built, some multimillionaire made a beautiful thing, that the walkway to his kever, you'll see on each side, there's like a water fountain and seven pillars with the 14 books written on the sides. That's the Yad HaChazaka. So the top, you'll see it's Sefer Zmanim, and the middle, it's from Sefer Shoftim, which are two of the 14 books of the Rambam. So first, we're going to learn from the Rambam Hilchas Chanukah. Look at Halacha Yud Beis. Let's read it together. Mitzvah Sner Chanukah. Everyone sees it? Halacha Yud Beis. Mitzvah Sner Chanukah, Mitzvah Chavivah Hi Ad Ma'oid. Mitzvah Sner Chanukah is a very precious mitzvah. V'tzorch Odom Lizarba. A person has to be very careful when you do the mitzvah. K'dei Leidia Hanes. Because it's Pirsumei Nisa. It's letting know the miracle that Hashem did for us. Ulahoisif b'shevach hakel, it adds to the praise of God. V'haydoy lo yalanisim shoslan, it's praising and thanking God for the miracles He did to us. And then listen to this. Afilu ein lo mayoichal elemen atzdaka. If a person doesn't have what to eat, and you have to take money from tzdaka, chas v'shalom. Shoel o meicher ksusa, you have to sell your shirt. Borrow money or sell your shirt. Lekech shem nevner samadlik, to buy oil and candles to light. That's how important it is. There's no such halacha by tefillin, l'mashal. You don't have to sell your shirt for tefillin. Neres Chanuk, you have to sell your shirt because it's Pirsumei Nisa. That's how important and precious a mitzvah it is. Now, harei she'ein lo ela pruta achas, halacha yud gimel. Let's say you only have one pruta. You only have, you know, 25 cents. You have $1. V'lefanav kiddush hayom v'lukas ner Chanukah. It's now Friday, and you could either afford wine for kiddush or Hanukkah candles. By the way, this, you know, we had great-great-grandparents that these were halacha l'maisa. You know, when we speak of poverty, you know, those of us had Aldababas and Zaydas in the Pela settlement and stuff, these were l'maisa, right? So you have enough money, you could either buy wine for Kiddush or a Hanukkah candle. So what should you do? So the Rambam says, Makdim liknei shemen lahadlik ner Hanukkah al hayan l'kiddush hayom. Buy Hanukkah candle, more important than wine for Kiddush. Why? Hoyel v'shnei medivrei soifrim. They're both derabanan. Mutav lahakdim ner Chanukah shesh b'zikaron anes. It's better to get Chanukah candles because it's Pirsumei Nisa. It's saying Hashem's miracle. Now, halacha yudalit. Hoyel v'fanav ner beisei v'ner Chanukah. Now, what about a different question? You have enough money or for Shabbos candles or for Chanukah candles. Now we just got through saying that Chanukah candles, how precious of a mitzvah it is, Pirsumei Nisa, and you have to sell your shirt, and it's more important than wine for Kiddush, it's such a precious mitzvah. What if you have enough money for Shabbos candles or for Chanukah candles? Or the Rambam says, ner beisei v'kiddush hayom, or for a Shabbos candle or for wine for Kiddush. You have enough money for either the Shabbos candle or Chanukah candle, or a situation where you have enough money for Shabbos, like a regular Shabbos during the year, not Chanukah. You have enough money for Shabbos candles or for wine for Kiddush. So which comes first? Says the Rambam, Ner Beso Kodem. Shabbos candles always comes first. Shabbos candles comes before wine for Kiddush and Chanukah candles. If you only have enough money for one, you buy Shabbos candles and not Chanukah candles. Why? Mishum shleim beisoy, because Shabbos candles are for shalom bayis. It's kedu. It's brought in all this from the Gemara says that Shabbos candles are about shalom bayis, right? You know the Gemara says an interesting reason why. Anyone know what the Gemara says why Shabbos candles are shalom bayis? I'm sure you've heard that Shabbos candles are about shalom bayis, right? But the way the Gemara says it is interesting. The Gemara says shalei kosher bava eitz ve'even. You have to remember in the times of Chazal, the real takan of Shabbos candles was so that you should be able to see in the house Friday night. You weren't able to see in the house Friday night because you couldn't light candles. So you had to have, it's what we would call leaving the lights on Friday night. And the Gemara says, so they people shouldn't trip over rocks and different things on the floor, which would cause strife in the home. You know, if people are tripping over and falling over all sorts of stuff, then they'll be the opposite of Shalom Bayis. So it should be Shabbos cancel, there should be Shalom Bayis. The famous question, by the way, that all the Poskim ask, that, you know, everyone's past 150 years, everyone is bothered by, is that why do you need Shabbos candles today if we have electricity? Because Pashtus, the whole Indian is that you should be able to see in the house Friday night. And electricity does a much better job than candles, right? So the emes is, you should know halacha lamaisa, that in a case, if you know, if a woman can't light Shabbos candles, whatever the situation is, you should light electricity. Can't make a bracha. Most people say you shouldn't make a bracha, but you should close all the lights and have in mind that you're lighting that for Shabbos candles. This is very lamaisa. I'm just going to tell you an interesting psak that I heard many years ago when I was zeichet. There's a sefer, Piskei Tshuvos, that I told the author about, and he agreed with me. He put in the sefer. If a woman is in a hotel, this happens all the time, right? And you're in a hotel, and they you're supposed to light candles. They give some, like, favar from the table in the middle of nowhere in the lobby that everyone just stands and light candles, and you light, and then you walk away from the table, and you never see the candles again. It's a big shaila, pialach, if you're allowed to make a bracha. Because it's not a magical incantation that you're lighting a candle and, okay, I did the mitzvah, I lit candles. The whole idea is that you should enjoy the light, either where you're eating or the rest of the house. So today we do it where you're eating because we have electricity in the rest of the house. In the times of Chazal, Shabbos candles would be lit, not necessarily where you were eating, but the rest of the house that you should be able to see. So you should know, halacha lemaisa, the best eitzah. This is what I've heard many years ago, and this is what one should do, is that in your hotel room, shut all the lights. And Mustami, you probably leave on the light in the bathroom, that there should be some kind of light. So have in mind, I'm now doing the mitzvah of Shabbos candles. You put on the light in the bathroom, don't talk, go downstairs, then light the candle, make a bracha, and have in mind also the light that you have. There are a lot of people that are machmir, which is also a very good thing to do, before you light Shabbos candles, to shut all the lights in the house, and then put on the electric ones that you want to have on in the house, then, without talking, light the Shabbos candle, make a bracha, and have in mind that it goes on that also. Because then your mamash sanctifying all the electricity in the house. Because really, Shabbos candles is about Shalom Bayis, which is that the house, there should be light in the house. Okay? Anyway, let's get back to the Rambam. So the Rambam says, halachically, so the Shabbos candles comes before Hanukkah candles and before Kiddush. Why? Mishum Shalom Beisei. Shaharei, the Rambam wants to show how important Shalom Bayis is. Shaharei Hashem Nimchak. God's name was erased to make peace between a husband and wife. In the case of the sota, right, was the husband suspected the wife, etc. So the halacha is, in order to make shalom bayis between the husband and wife, the kohen would write Hashem's name, yudke vovke, on a parchment, erase it, which you're not allowed to erase Hashem's name. He would erase it in the water in order to make shalom bayis. That's how important it is. And then the Rambam finishes and says, Godol hashalom. Shakol ha-teira nitna lase shalom ba'olam. You know how important peace is? The entire Torah was given lase shalom ba'olam, to make peace in the world. Shenemar d'rchei d'rchaneim v'chol nisiv aser shalom. And that's how the Rambam finishes Hilchas Chanukah. Now, first of all, two questions. The whole Torah is to make peace on earth. Sounds like John Lennon. Except the part of no religion, right? What does it mean that the whole Torah is to make shalom ba'olam? The whole, Ram says, Kol ha-Torah nitna lase shalom ba'olam. The whole Torah is to make peace on earth. How exactly does, like, putting tzitzis on, you know, make that they should stop killing each other in Sudan? Kol ha-Torah nitna lase shalom ba'olam. The whole Torah is to make peace on earth. What does that mean? But let's ask another question. The Rebbe, the Lubavitcher Rebbe, asked another question on this. Let me ask you a question. These halachas we just learned about Ner Shabbos, you see, this is in Hilchas Chanukah. Where seemingly should the Rambam have written that halacha? In Hilchas Shabbos. Hilchas Shabbos comes before Hilchas Chanukah in the Rambam. And in Hilchas Shabbos, the Rambam writes about Ner Shabbos. He has a whole perek, a whole chapter where he discusses Ner Shabbos. And he doesn't mention this halacha. He doesn't say anything about that. Now don't forget, not only is the Rambam speaking here about what if you have Ner Chanukah or Ner Shabbos, he's also speaking about Ner Shabbos or Kiddush. Not a word about that in Hilchas Shabbos. So the question is, why does the Rambam write that in Hilchas Chanukah? So the Rebbe says, from here we understand a very deep thing. We understand that the whole, it's true that all of the Torah is nitna lasu shalom bayim, whatever that means, that the whole Torah is to make peace on earth, which we have to understand, what does that mean, that the whole Torah is to make shalom? But we understand that the whole Torah is to make shalom ba'olam, is especially stressed in Neres Chanukah. Neres Chanukah is the ultimate symbol of what it means that all of Torah is to make shalom ba'olam. And the way the Rebbe said it is that Neres Chanukah alein shrayin tzind on Neres Shabbos. As the Rebbe said, Neres Chanukah themselves scream. If you ask the Neres Chanukah, what should we do? The Neres Chanukah alein shrayin, the Neres Chanukah scream, light Neres Shabbos. Because the whole inyan of Neres Chanukah is shalom. That's what Neres Chanukah is all about. We'll understand what Neres Chanukah is about. We'll understand what does it mean the whole Torah is to make shalom ba'olam. Neres Chanukah is about shalom. And that's why Neres Chanukah are the ones that say, that's why the Rambam Dafkin Hilchas Chanukah wrote these halachas about how important Neres Shabbos are. Because Chanukah's whole inyan is to make shalom. What does that mean? What does it mean Chanukah's whole inyan is to make shalom? What does that mean? Now, you all understand, when will there be peace on earth? When Mashiach comes, right? Shalom Ba'olam, the ultimate state of Shalom Ba'olam is when Mashiach comes. Right? That's when there'll be Shalom Ba'olam. So really all of Torah is to bring Mashiach, which is that there'll be Shalom Ba'olam. So listen, if we want to understand what does it mean that all of Torah is to bring Shalom, and Neres Chanukah are the ultimate mitzvah, we have to know what does it mean Mashiach? What does it mean peace of Mashiach? Now you know Neres Chanukah connected to the light of Mashiach, right? All the Svarim speak about that the light of Chanukah is the light of Mashiach. You know that's why there are 36 candles, right? Mm-hmm. If you count from the first night to the eighth night, there are 36 candles. And it's written in the Svarim that, you know, the light that shined in the first day of creation, when Hashem first created the world, it then says that Hashem concealed that light. He concealed that light. So the Svarim say that light he concealed, and Chanukah candles is a taste of that light. That's why, by the way, it says that all the Svarim say there's a beginning to look at the Chanukah candles. I don't know if you ever noticed in Haneris Halalu, that we say. So one of the things we say over there, Ein lanu reshus l'shtamash behem, ela liroisen bilvad. What does that mean? How does that translate? We have no permission to use them, except what do we have permission to look at them? What does that mean? Think, what does that connote? That you need permission to look at them. Ein lanu reshus l'shtamash behem, ela, what do we have reshus? Lirais and Bavad. We have Rishus, we need permission to look at them. So the Svarim say, because you need permission to look at them, because it's Oragonus. It's that hidden light that Hashem concealed. And there's a fascinating thing that the Svarim say. You know, when you go to a mikveh, you have to close your eyes. You know, it's very important halachically. There's some people that want to be extra firm and they keep their eyes open. That's not right. You're supposed to close your eyes in a mikveh. Right? So and that's for anyone that goes to mikveh to become tahar. You go to a mikveh, your eyes close. So, and that's how a person becomes tahor. The eyes have to be closed. So, but when do the eyes get purified? So the Svarim say Neres Chanukah. Neres Chanukah is the mikveh for the eyes. When you look at Neres Chanukah, that's the mikveh for the eyes. And that's what the Svarim say, there's a beginning to look at Neres Chanukah. The Pashut stare at them. There were tzaddikim that would sit, the Chabad custom is to sit in front of the Chanukah candles for half hour. Mamash for half hour to sit in front of the candles. Lav Dafka, you have to be staring at them the whole time. You could play dreidel and, you know, yilakas with the kids, but you should sit by the Chanukah candles for at least half hour. But there are people that would stare at them because it's mamash, it's an inyan to stare at the Chanukah candles. Why? That's the hidden light, the Oragonus, and that is the light of Mashiach. Because Chanukah candles is that shalom, that peace that Mashiach is going to bring. So let's understand, what is that peace? What is that shalom of Mashiach? So let's learn another line from the Rambam. Take a look. In the middle of the page, you'll see it's from Shoftim, Hilchas Melachim. Now, Shoftim is the last of the 14 books of the Rambam. It's the last. And Hilchas Melachim, Laws of Kings, is the very end. So, Perek Shneimas, or chapter 12, is the last chapter in the Rambam's book. What does he speak about? Mashiach. The Rambam is the only halacha book that we have that Mamash talks about halachas about what's going to happen when Mashiach comes. The laws of Mashiach. He has two prakim that deal with it. So take a look at the first halacha in Perek Shneimas, chapter 12. Al yala al halev. Anyone know what that means? Al yala lalev. Don't even think. Al yala lalev. Don't allow it to come up in your heart. We would say in English, don't even think about it. Al yala al halev. Don't allow it to even, don't entertain the thought. Shebiyamaisa Mashiach yevatel dover mimin hagay shel oilam. That something from the natural order of the world will change when Mashiach comes. Don't even think that there'll be anything supernatural. Oyeshem chidish maisa breishas. So there'll be miracles that are going to change the maisa breishas. Ela oilam kimin hagay noyeg. The world will continue in its natural order. There will be no miracles. Don't even think that there are going to be miracles when Mashiach comes. Anyone have a question about that? The Rambam himself asks, V'zeh she'nemar b'Yeshaya v'gar zevim keves, the wolf will lie down with the lamb. That sounds pretty miraculous, right? V'nomrim g'di yirbatz, and a leopard will lie, will make a home with a sheep. Moshel v'chida, it's a parable. And Rambam goes on to say, it's a parable meaning that the Gentile nations will live with peace with the Jewish people. And he goes on to say that all the things that the Nevi'im say, everything will be natural. No miracles when Mashiach comes. Everyone okay with that? Anyone have a question? What's the 13th principle of faith of the Rambam? 13 principles of faith. Maimonides 13, but we all have to know the 13 animamins, right? Well, Orthodox, we have to know what are the 13 animamins. What's the 13th? The 12th is the coming of Mashiach. What's the 13th? Tchias HaMesim. That's pretty miraculous. How could the Rambam say? Derive it, a lot of Rishonim argue in the Rambam. So the answer that everyone says, the Rambam is saying that there are two eras. There are going to be two eras. The Messianic era will be really two parts. There'll be the first part where there won't be miracles. It'll be natural, a king that's going to come and rule the world. Then, Tchias HaMesim, the resurrection of the dead, the miraculous part will happen afterwards. But the Rambam obviously agrees that there's going to be a time there are going to be miracles. He himself says he believes in Tchias HaMesim. Okay? But what do you see from this Rambam? The Rambam is adamant that Mashiach, when Mashiach will come, there won't be any miracles. Now, by the way, this is a matter of dispute in the Gemara. In the Gemara in Sanhedrin, there's a dispute whether there'll be miracles when Mashiach comes or whether there'll be Shinui Ma'aseh Bereishis or Olam Kemenag Ganayik. There's a machlokes in the Gemara. The Rambam not only rules that there's not going to be a miracle, but look at the words he used. Aliyah Lalev. That's very, very unusual for the Rambam. Wasn't Hungarian. He didn't usually use hyperbole. Aliyah Lalev is like the Rambam screaming. Don't even think there are going to be miracles when Mashiach comes. Don't chas v'shon think they're going to be miracles when Mashiach comes. Why is the Rambam so adamant about that? The Rambam, why is he so stringent about that? Don't think they're going to be miracles when Mashiach comes. So from here we see what the Rambam is teaching us. The Rambam is teaching us what we have to know, not just for when Mashiach comes, for now. We have to know what is Mashiach all about. What the Rambam is saying, what does it mean? What is Mashiach? To understand what Mashiach really is, what the light of Mashiach really is, you have to understand that there won't be miracles. Miracles would actually nullify what Mashiach is all about. Supernatural things would actually not allow the light of Mashiach to really happen. And that's what the Rambam is saying over here. What does that mean? What does that mean? One more thing I want to show you, one more text, and then I'll put everything together. One more text I want to show you. Look at the bottom of the page. The bottom of the page is from a letter of the Alter Rebbe. Today is his simcha that he got out of jail. And this is the very end of a long letter that he wrote to the Berditchever, Reb Levitzik Berditchev. The Alter Rebbe wrote a letter to the Berditchever when he got out of jail. It's a long letter, but look at the very end. I just want to read with you the very end of the letter that he wrote right after Yutes Kislev. Top line, Brum kigayin dotzarech leidia. The Alter Rebbe says, this I must make known. Ki yoyim asher osa Hashem lonu, the day that God made for us, yoyim yutes kislev, which was on a Tuesday, yoyim gimel, shuchvu by kitoiv, which is also yoyim hilul rabbits, the yortzeit. Whose yortzeit is yutes kislev? The Rabbeinu HaKadosh, the Magid, the Mizritra Magid's yortzeit also. Now, look what the Alter Rebbe says. Ukshekarisi b'sefer tilim, b'posuk, Pada b'sholom nafshi. I was reading Tehillim, and Tehillim perek nun hey. There's a pasuk. Pada b'sholom nafshi. You redeemed my soul in peace. Koydim shischalti pasuk shalachrav yatzasi b'sholom mashem shalom. I was let out in peace from the God of peace. You hear what the Alter Rebbe is saying? What words was he saying when he got out of jail? Pada b'sholom nafshi. Again, shalom. My soul was redeemed b'shalom, in peace. As opposed to what? How else could a soul be redeemed? Pada. Pada b'shalom nafshi, my soul was redeemed in peace. What are two ways you could be redeemed? Through a battle, through a war, winning a war, or b'shalom. Huh?
Pigeon of
Oh, well, if you have an enemy, you could pay them off too. But that would be the same thing as those. You could fight the enemy, you could pay off the enemy, right? Or you could be redeemed from an enemy, b'shalom, that there's peace. And the Alter is saying that Yutes Kislev, that when he was redeemed, which is the Gilui of Chassidus, right? Yutes Kislev is the day of the Gilui of Chassidus, he was reading these words, again, shalom, pod b'shalom nafshi. It's a very interesting anecdote. You all heard of the Ruzhiner, Rabbi Yisrael Ruzhiner? The Holy Ruzhiner, yeah? So Rabbi Yisrael Ruzhiner's father was a Jew called Reb Shalom, Shalom Shachna. And he was the son of the Magid Mizrich. You know, the Mizrich or Magid was this Baal Shem Tov's student. And the Magid had a son called the Malach, Reb Avram the Malach. He was the Alter Rebbe's Chavrusa. Reb Avram, the Avram of Malach was the Alter Rebbe's Chavrusa, and Reb Avram Malach's son was Reb Shalom. Reb Shalom's son is Rabbi Yisrael Ruzhiner. This Reb Shalom was a big Talmud of the Alter Rebbe. He mamash, he was very close with the Alter Rebbe. But then the Alter Rebbe was taken to jail. By the way, when they took the Alter Rebbe to jail, they took him to death row. He was taken to be killed. He was supposed to be executed. And he was in jail for 53 days. He was interrogated. It was not a simple thing. By the way, he was 53 days in jail. He was taken to Sukkos, last day of Sukkos, and let out Yitzchak Kislev 53 days, and there were 53 chapters in Tanya. He actually wrote Tanya before Yitzchak Kislev, so that was, he sat in jail the amount of days that there was Pokem of Tanya. But this Reb Shalom, the son of the Malach, got very, very sick. He Pasha got sick. He got so sick that the doctors thought that he was going to die also. He was so worried about the Alter Rebbe. And then the story goes, and this, by the way, the story they say in Ruzhin, by Boyan, they say that all of a sudden, one day, Reb Shalom Malach was mamish deathly ill, and all of a sudden he jumped up and he started dancing, and he said, "The Rav is a race from Tfisa." The Alter Rebbe went out of jail. So they asked him, "How do you know?" And they didn't have SMS, they didn't have texts, you know, forget about phones, they didn't have anything. They said, "How do you know?" And it was Yutes Kislev. "How do you know?" So Reb Shalom said like this, it says in the Zohar that the rainbow that shined when Noach went out of the ark, the Teva, that rainbow, which is the light of Mashiach, it says in the Zohar that when Mashiach comes, that light is going to shine all the time. There's always going to be that rainbow. And Abshalom says, "When it's the chavdus gezein," and I just saw it, Mashiach's noch nishda, Mashiach's not here yet, must be the Rav is a race, must be the Rav got out of jail. And it was true. He got out of jail. Means that when the Alter Rebbe Yutes Kislev, the light of Mashiach, of Hanukkah candles, was shining, and what was the Alter Rebbe saying? Pada b'shalom nafshi. My soul was redeemed in peace. It's all that same light of Mashiach, which is all about shalom, which is all about peace. So let's understand what's this idea of shalom. We'll just put all this together with one more story. The Rebbe puts all this together with one more story. A story, another story of the Alter Rebbe. So I mentioned to you, the Alter Rebbe was in jail. He was, the jail, which is still there, the building is still there in St. Petersburg, And the jail is, it's called the Peter Paul Fortress. And they actually have videos now. The jail cell was very, very small. It's interesting, actually, the Rebbe Ayatz, the previous Lubavitcher Rebbe, said that you know, the Alter Rebbe used to say that when he was in jail, he asked at one point, he was visited by the Baal Shem Tov and the Magid, who both had passed away. And he asked them, "Why was I put in jail?" So they said to him, "Because you're spreading the teachings of Chassidus." So he said, "Should I stop?" So they said, "No, if you get let out, it's a sign that you have to spread even more." And the Rayat said that he went to the fortress because he wanted to see if the jail cell was big enough for three people. Because the Alter Rebbe says that they came in their bodies. They visited him in their bodies, the Baal Shem Tov and the Magid. So that jail, that fortress is on the river Neva. There's a river in Petersburg called Neva. And the jail cell is on the river. And across from the dungeon or wherever the people were kept in prison, across from that were the headquarters of where the Russians were that were in charge. Their headquarters was across the river. So at night when they would interrogate him, they would take him on a little boat and take him across the river. So the story is that one night, it was either Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan or Kislev, he was being taken across the river, and he wants a Kiddush Levana. It was the beginning of the month, and he wants a Kiddush Levana. So the Alter Rebbe said to the Russian that was carrying, that was the gendarme, the Russian officer that was rowing the boat, the soldier said, "Stop the boat, I would like to pray." So the Russian guy, you know, looks at the Alter Rebbe and he's like, "What, are you crazy? You're on death row. I'm going to stop the boat for you." He just ignored him. So the Alter Rebbe says, "Please stop the boat, I would like to pray." And he ignored him. So the Alter Rebbe did something with his hand and he caused the boat to stop. And the boat froze. And this Russian gendarme was trying to move the boat. He couldn't move it. So he got freaked out. Imamish got scared. He understood the Alter Rebbe was something special. He started shaking. So then the Alter Rebbe made with his hand again and let the ship go. He let it go. And then the Alter Rebbe said to him, "Please stop the boat. I want to pray." And at this point he was intimidated enough and he stopped it, and the Alter Rebbe started, you know, said Kiddush Levana. So the Rebbe Ayatz asked a very simple question, which I'm sure you're all thinking. Right? Why did he have to let the boat go? And then, you know, we say in Yiddish, Meichel Toivas. So you have to ask the guy for a Toiva. You already stopped the boat. Say it Kiddush Levana. Right. You have to let it go. And then he asked the guy again, "Could you please stop the boat?" So the Friedrich Rebbe says like this. Because the whole purpose of Torah is to make shalom ba'olam, to make peace on the world, which means, what's peace? What is shalom? Shalom, you know, like Shimon Peres said, shalom osim im oivim, right? Shalom is when you have enemies, two people that are enemies. What's real peace? You could conquer an enemy, you could buy them off, but what's real peace? Real peace is when the person that was an enemy, not that you just able to live, you know, can we all just get along? You know, what's the word that they use? Mutual
coexist.
That's not peace. That's not real shalom. Real shalom is that you become friends. Is that you become unified. Shalom bias is not two people living in the same house and living together as, you know, with functioning partnership, you know, coexistence. Unfortunately, that could happen sometimes, but real shalom bias is that the two become unified. That's what shalom is. Shalom is that there's a complete unity. So the Rebbe said like this, what's Torah? Torah is making shalom between God and the world. The world seems to be something other than Hashem. The world seems to be a separate entity from God. And that world challenges our connection to Hashem. Kol haTorah nitna l'asa shalom ba'olam. You know why Torah has so many details and so many halachas? Why does Torah speak about every single aspect of life? Because all of Torah is to make shalom, to reveal how everything in the world connected and unified with God. To show how God's light is everything. That's what all of Torah is, l'asa shalom ba'olam, to show how God's light is in everything. That's litna l'asa shalom ba'olam. And you understand that that's what's Neres Chanukah about. What's the difference between the candles, the menorah and the Beis HaMikdash, and the menorah Neres Chanukah? The menorah and the Beis HaMikdash, we know, had seven branches, was in the Beis HaMikdash, and was lit by day. The Chanukah menorah has eight branches. Where do you light it? You're supposed to light in the Rishus HaRabim, right? In the public area. When do you light it? At night. And you're supposed to light it below 10 tefachim. The exact opposite of Ner Beis HaMikdash. Why? What's the idea of 7? What's the idea of 8?
8 is beyond
10. 7, okay, so we say 7 is Teva. But Shabbos is 7. So it's not enough to just say 7 is Teva. 7 means Kedusha. 6 is the 6 directions of the compass, which means mundane reality. That's 6. 6 represent mundane reality, the world. 7 is Kedusha. 7 is Hamavdil ben Kodesh Lechol. 7 is Kedusha. Shabbos is above. Shabbos is not mundane. The menorah is 7 branches in the Beis HaMikdash. What's 8? If 7 is Kedusha, what's 8? 8 means the essence of God, which is found equally in holy and mundane. Even though he's Mavdil ben Kodesh Lechol, God's infinite light is found equally in both. There's a difference between Kodesh and Chol. There is a Mavdil, Havdol ben Kodesh Lechol. But his infinite essence is found equally in both. God is everywhere exactly the same. That's 8. That's to know that It could be there are holy things and mundane things. There's a shul and there's a kitchen. But eight is to know that God is equally in both, because just like God is not mundane, he's also not holy. That's what Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh means, by the way. He's holy from being holy. He's separate from being called separate. He's everywhere exactly the same. That's eight. And that's what Chanukah candles is to reveal Hashem's light at night, the left side, as low as possible, in Rishus HaRabim. Chanukah candles is to make Shalom Ba'olam. Chanukah candles is what shows what Torah is all about, which is to show how everything is one with Hashem. Eight candles at night, that even nighttime is one with Hashem, darkness is Hashem. Below 10 Tfachim, on the left side you're supposed to light it. In Rishus HaRabim, in the middle of the marketplace, it's all one with Hashem. That's what Chanukah candles are all about, to make that unity. What's Ezer Kenegdo? Shalom Bayis is Ezer Kenegdo, means that two people that really, al pi teva, man and woman are opposites, are Kenegdo, to make an Ezer out of Kenegdo. Two people that are supposed to be in a state of strife, that are opposites by nature, to become one unit. Eight means to connect godliness with the world, to make one Shalom. That's what Chanukah candles are. And therefore the Alter Rebbe, listen to this, the Alter Rebbe didn't want to say Kiddush Levana when he stopped the boat miraculously. You know why?
Money.
Right. Because it's not the world as is. It wouldn't be drawing God's light into the world as is. Supernatural miracle means that it's not the world anymore. It's the Shabbos, the Moshul. Shabbos is not seven. Shabbos is separate from the rest of your week. You know, by the way, the Svarim say you're supposed to light Chanukah candles dafka with weekday clothing. Shabbos is separate. Shabbos is, you come to a place which is higher than the world. It's like a secession of the world. Chanukah is to reveal that the world, your regular life, is one with Hashem. And the Alter Rebbe, if he would have said the Kiddush Havana while the boat was stopped miraculously, that's not the world as is. He wanted to draw down Hashem's light in the natural world. And that's what the Rambam is saying over here. The Rambam is saying, don't think when Mashiach comes there are going to be miracles. What would it mean? Why would some people think that there has to be... What's the Rambam negating? Why do some people think there has to be miracles when Mashiach comes? Why would people think that? Because they think, well, Mashiach is Hashem revealing himself, right? So there obviously have to be miracles. You understand? Some people think that to see God, there has to be miracles.
Seeing is believing.
Seeing is believing, and therefore what do you need to see in order to believe? A change in nature. The Rambam is saying, no, that's not what Mashiach is. Seeing, believing, where you're supposed to see God. When Mashiach comes, there are not going to be miracles. We will see God in the same world exactly as it is now. The exact, no change in nature. Olam kimonog hanoig, the same world as is now. You know the word, the Alter Rebbe writes, actually, the word geula, which means redemption. Geula. The Alter Rebbe says it's made up of two things, Gola and Aleph. You know what Gola is? We always say Golos. Golos is really the rabbinic word. How do you say in the Tanakh? How is Golos written in Tanakh? Gola. Right? Like in the Megillah, Mordechai, HaGola Asherim Yechanya. Gola means Golos. So the Alter Rebbe says, what's redemption? Geula. Gola, the word which means Golos, with an Aleph. The Aleph refers to Hashem. Meaning, the redemption of the world is not the negation of the world. People think Mashiach comes, you know, people have this weird ideas. When Mashiach comes, the world is going to stop. There'll be an apocalypse, some cataclysmic events, global warming, and whatever. And people think that, you know, the California is going to drop off the map, and we're all going to move to Israel, and we're all going to live in the old city in some cramped apartment and spend the entire day in the Beis Hamikdash staring at blood sacrifices, and that's going to be life for the rest of our lives. That's not Mashiach. That's some weird, you know, Christian revelations, you know, Martin Scorsese type of thing. That's not what Mashiach is. Mashiach is the exact same house that you have now. Everything that you have now, the same world, with one difference. You'll see God in everything. You'll see how everything is Hashem's light. There'll be Shalom Ba'olam. There'll be peace between God and the world. There'll be a chibur, a unity of God with the world, and you'll see the Chanukah candles in everything. You'll see Hashem's light in everything, huh?
What about, like, God comforting Sharm and Kibbutz Galuyos?
So, because there's going to be, we're going to have Be'olah L'Regel. we're going to be Oyel Regel. So there's going to be everyone going to see the Beis HaMikdash, but then everyone's going to go home also. It doesn't mean everyone's going to live there. Mm-hmm. If I cared that, but the Gemara says, the Kedusha of Yisrael is going to spread out to the whole world. That's what it means. The whole world is going to be with that Kedusha, with that revelation. So we're all going to go back to see the Beis HaMikdash built, but then we'll go home. They're going to be 3 times a year, we're going to go the same way as it was. But it doesn't mean everyone's going to live in, you know, Rehov, what's it called, in Misgav Ladach. So Mashiach is about that revelation of Shalom Ba'olam. Shalom Ba'olam means to see how the world is unified with Hashem. And that's why the Alter Rebbe, that Rambam is saying, don't think they're going to be miracles when Mashiach comes. When Mashiach comes, it's going to be seen how everything the world as is one with Hashem. Let me just finish and I'll take questions. 1 second. And therefore you understand, listen, Yutes Kislev, the Alter Rebbe said, Podeh B'Shalom Nafshi. Yutes Kislev is the day that Chassidus was revealed. Chassidus is all about that revelation. Chassidus is really that light of Mashiach, which is the light of the Chanukah candles. The teachings of Chassidus are all about being able to connect to God in everything. And that's why the main focus of Chassidus is davening, which is that ladder. Let's get back to that ladder. And I'll take questions afterwards. What's the ladder of tefillah? Which again, it's in Zohar, but Chassidus explains it all the time. What does it mean to go to upper worlds? Where do you think you need to go to upper worlds? Where are the upper worlds? Where is Olam Hatzilus? How many miles, how many light years up is Olam Hatzilus, the world of emanation? Any idea how many miles up it is? It's right here. It's right here. The upper worlds are not spatially, geographically higher. The upper worlds are different levels of perception. We're going to learn, Mitzvah Hashem, that the upper worlds are more revelation of God's light. What does it mean, more revelation of God's light? Being able to look at the same world that you have now and seeing how they're connected with God. That's what upper worlds means. Each higher world is different levels of how connected things are with God, how much you're able to perceive and see the truth that everything is Hashem's infinite light. And going up in worlds means, if you remember we spoke about Lech Lecha, going into yourself, into a deeper place where you're able to come to those levels of perception of Hashem and to see how everything is one with Hashem and to come to a state of peace. That's why tefillah is supposed to bring about a feeling of inner peace, because tefillah is about coming to that peace of seeing how everything is one with Hashem. That's what the ladder of tefillah means. It means progressively, step by step, being able to come to terms with the truth that everything is one with Hashem. You never separate from your Father. You never separate. You're always hugging God. And that's supposed to mean that even when you go to Haran, when you don't go to Lavan's house, when you then go the rest of the day, you're not supposed to separate yourself from that feeling of tefillah. Tefillah is like the Chanukah candles of the morning. Chanukah candles where we actually physically see it. Tefillah is supposed to be that you're able to see the light of Chanukah, the light of Mashiach, your whole day. Because you go up that ladder of being able to reach those levels of perception, how everything is one with Hashem. And we're going to speak about Mitzvah Hashem details of this. As I said, there's details of understanding, specific meditations. How do you understand how everything is one with God? Tefillah is going up that ladder and coming to that place of that perception. And that's what it means, that tefillah is that shalom, that taste of that peace of Mashiach, and that's the preparation for being able to deal with Lavan's house. Because then, the rest of the day, when the soul gets agitated, what does it mean, the agitation? What does it mean the soul gets agitated? All the things that happen during the day that make us feel so exhausted. It's because the soul is being thrown in, we're being thrown in a million different places. But if one is able to anchor oneself through tefillah, to anchor oneself through that ladder, again, not escapist going to a different place, but anchor oneself through that perception that one comes to a deeper feeling and awareness of that truth, of the Chanukah candles, of Shalom Ba'olam, of the light of Hashem, of that unity of Hashem in everything, what's supposed to happen, again, we have to work on tefillah, but what's supposed to happen is then you could then deal with everything else and know that you're still hugging your Father the whole time. That's 8, right? That's the whole idea. Vayhi b'yom hashmini, the Mishkan, which is in the tefillah, was dafka put up on the 8th day. The whole idea of Mishkan, of tefillah, of korbanos, tefillah is to come to that inner serenity, that inner peace, of that truth of Shalom Ba'olam. So the ladder really is not ascending to a different place. The ladder is ascending to a higher perception of reality. Because you always have to remember, tefillah is not an action. Real prayer is not an action, it's a state of being. Prayer is a state of being, it's not an act. And that's what we spoke about in the first. We spoke halavai shispal adam kolayam kulei halavai. A person would daven all day. One is supposed to be in that state of being all day. And that's the state of being that tefillah is supposed to bring to. And that's what Chanukah is a taste of that. Chanukah is a mamash a taste to actually see it. And Yutas Kislev was the day that it was revealed min hashamayim. The Alter Rebbe says pade b'shalom nafshi, that light began shining, that everyone learns chassidus and everyone could come to have a taste of that light. No, mitzvah Shem, we should be zeicha to see it with our physical eyes. L'chaim. Yeah, questions. Yes.
Okay. In light of the sources, in light of what you're saying about the connecting to God and everything, the connection between Chanukah and Shabbos and Shalom Bayis for Shabbos, the Shamash on the Chanukiah, uh-huh. What I learned is supposed to represent Hashem, that we have a higher being, the center of our lives, that everything is directed towards. Why for Shabbos candles we don't have a Shamash light thing?
I've never seen that idea. It doesn't mean, it could be that somebody says that idea, that it's a nice idea. But the idea of Shabbos candles is a whole different thing. Shabbos candles is, the Indian of Shabbos candles is very different than Chanukah candles. Shabbos candles is the idea of Kedusha. It is the idea of Kedusha. It's not the idea of Chanukah. That's where Shabbos candles are dafka holy. So
right, but you were saying about Shalom Bayis and the three partners of Shalom Bayis are the husband, the wife, and Hashem. So that's...
Right, so but the Shabbos candles themselves are not. It's not like Chanukah candles that you're revealing that the mundane is also the light of God. Shabbos candles is. Let's say it like this. In every Shalom generally is the unifying of different things. That's what Shalom is. The unification of things that were naturally enemies. Shalom Bayis is that unification of a man and woman that alpitev are opposites and to make them into that unity. That unity of a man and woman is not done in Rosh Hashanah Rabbin. That unity is dafka done in the most private of places. Because it's a different type of unity. That type of unity between man and woman is something that could only be facilitated when it's done in a state of Kedusha in a hidden place, in the Beis HaMikdash, right? The Beis HaMikdash, B'chlal, and specifically the house being a Beis HaMikdash, and even more specifically, particular room which is known as the Beis HaMikdash, yeah? Chanukah candles is shalom between God and the world. And that's dafka done. Chanukah candles are lit in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, in the most public places possible, lower than 10 tefachim, and in the night, because Chanukah candles is uniting the whole world and showing how it's all one with the light of Hashem. So it's true that both are shalom, but they're two different types of shalom. This is shalom between a man and a woman, and this is shalom between God and the world. That's the difference between Shabbos candles and Chanukah candles. Yeah, someone else had a question? Yeah.
I was just confused by the Rambam's proof that there's not going to be miracles is that the
wolf will die with the lamb?
Yeah.
It's not a proof. He asked a question on himself.
He's like saying that's like,
it's just a parable.
A parable, right?
He doesn't have a proof.
But the real thing that's not a miracle is that the nations are going to get along.
Right.
To me, like, that's more miraculous than the wolf.
It's not supernatural, though. You know, the idea is that it'll be, you know, obviously it's going to be a whole different type of world, right?
Uh-huh.
It'll be utopian society, but it doesn't mean that there are going to be supernatural events causing that.
Mm-hmm. So how come the teva of the animals is not going to change also?
So, an animal changing its teva is supernatural. Getting human beings to get along is difficult, but it's not
okay.
Supernatural, right? It's there's actually a beautiful story, which I'm sure you've heard. Rebbe said this many times. You know the story of Baron Belzer with the eyes, Mashiach's eyes. Never heard that story. I mean, if anyone needs to leave, I don't like going overtime, but if I'll is it okay with another couple of minutes? So Rebbe said the story many times, that Baron Belzer one time had to have an operation in Vienna. And so he was taken to Vienna, and that time Vienna was very high rates of assimilation, and, you know, Jews were not very orthodox. And as he was in this hospital in Vienna, he asked who was his doctor, and they told him Dr. Moses whatever, which he knew that meant that he's a Jew and he's not a frum Jew. So he asked if he could meet him. He wanted to meet him before the operation. So the doctor, you know, comes in, and it's a not wearing a yarmulke, whatever. And he heard of the Belzer Rebbe, or Aaron Belzer, you give him Shalom Aleichem. And he started saying, yeah, you should know I come from a Chassidish home, whatever. So Barla Belzer says to him, so what happened? You know, why are you not from? So he said that this Jew says that, you know, I could never deal with this idea of Mashiach. I can never deal with this idea that one person is going to come and change the world. One person is going to, the idea of Mashiach is there'll be one person that's going to come and mamash change the entire world. One person. So Aaron Belzer looked at him in the eye and held his eyes, like looked him straight in the eye and held his eyes for like mamash 2 minutes, a very strong look in the eye. So all of a sudden he burst out crying. Like all of a sudden, like he remembered his father, his home, and that look from Aaron Belzer's eyes, he pushed it, started crying. And Aaron said to him like this, he said, look what I was able to do with my eyes, and I'm just a simple Jew. Imagine what Mashiach is going to do with his eyes. Mm. Mashiach's Pasha is going to look at people in the eyes, and by looking into his eyes, the whole world is going to change. Mm. So it's not supernatural, it's just really nifty. Cool. But it's not supernatural. But like I said, everyone goes to town in this Rambam. There are those that disagree vehemently, but in the Rambam himself, we have to say he's talking about the first era, because obviously the Rambam agrees there will be times where there are going to be miracles. I mean, there are psukim that the Rambam would have a hard time. Forget about Wolf of the Lamb. There are psukim like Pasuk in Micha, Ki meit seischem eretz mitzayim arena niflois. Like in the days that you left Egypt, I will show you miracles. So everyone says the Rambam's talking about the first part of the Messianic era. But the question here, the idea that we're learning is, but why is the Rambam so adamant about, why must it be that there'll be a time that there won't be miracles? And the answer is like we learned, because the idea is that the world as is, we have to see how it's one with Hashem. Redemption of reality means that not negating reality, like changing the world with supernatural miracles. The world as is, to see that that's God, that's the redemption of reality. That's the peace, that's the ultimate Shalom Ba'olam.
Or the Yeshua comes naturally through Derech HaTeva as opposed through something supernatural, that it has a different permanence or it's a different quality. Do you know what I'm referring to? That there's two ways that Yeshua's can come. It can come...
Yeah, well, yeah, that's true. But you're saying that there's a Maila Dafka Pi Derech HaTeva. I mean...
In the way that the world is, as opposed to something out of this world. It's the same... I
mean, it says that... It does say that the tzaddikim, you know, and Hashem prefers that things happen on Pidar HaTeva. That it definitely says. That Hashem doesn't do miracles for no reason, and it prefers to be on Pidar HaTeva, because that's the purpose of creation. But that there's more of a permanence in the salvation, that I don't remember seeing.
Or that there's a preference.
There is a preference, for sure. That it says in all the Sfarim, that Hashem doesn't do miracles for no reason. Any miracle is either because it had to happen, and there's definitely a preference that it should be like that.
I guess it's confusing because of Mitzrayim and Kriyas Yam Suf and Har Sinai, which were miracles.
Well, that's why, you should know, that's why in Tanya, in Perek Lamed Aleph, the Alter Rebbe says an interesting thing. It says by Yetzias Mitzrayim, you remember, Ki b'chipozen Yetzias Mitzrayim, in a rush. You remember it says a rush, with the burdens, you're holding burdens, and you're holding the sticks, and your shoes, keep a chippaz, and you rushed out of Mitzrayim. That's why the night of Pesach, everything is rushing, right? Pachatzis, and everything is rushing, right? Matzahs is rushing, everything is rushing. There's a pasuk in Yeshaya, which Alter Rebbe brings in Perek Laman Alef, Ki loy b'menusi aleichun, ki hoylech lefneichem Hashem. You will not leave this exile, loy b'menusi aleichun, you will not, menusa means running.
Rushing.
You won't rush out, because God is walking with you. That Yeshaya says that Dafka Mashiach is not rushing.
That makes sense.
And meaning that it's not miraculous. That's the part, that it's more of a permanence in the world because it's not rushing out. Because it was done, that's why Golas is taking so long. Because the whole idea is... Right.
It's a process.
Exactly. It's a process that's much more thorough, not done with miracles. It's sort of like Yetzias Mitzrayim is when Hashem picked us up by the hand, and Golas is where we learn to walk on our own. And that we unite the world with God through our Avodah. But that's the Shalom. And that's why Chassidus is the preparation for Mashiach, because Chassidus is us training ourselves. That's why Chanukah, I mean, I only had an hour, but Chanukah is Chinuch. That's what the Sfarim say. Chanukah is Malashan Chinuch. It's educating ourselves for Mashiach. Now we have a taste of the Hanukkah candles. We have a taste of it. It's a chinuch to prepare ourselves for the light of Mashiach. Chassidus is now, right before Mashiach comes, not just 8 days of Hanukkah, but now all the time to live with the light of Mashiach. To mamash prepare ourselves, like the training wheels, right? To mamash prepare ourselves to live with that reality of Mashiach, to live with the fact that you're always one with God, no matter what physical thing you're doing, that you're one with Hashem. So chassidus is the ultimate chinuch. It's taking the Hanukkah candles another step to make it, to prepare ourselves for that. And all that is done through tefillah. That's really what tefillah, that's what it means, that tefillah is the start of the day, and then to live with that inner perception the rest of the day. That's what chassidus is. Chassidus is to learn these meditations, daven with them, and then be able to live with them the rest of the day.
So when the chassidim say, we want Mashiach now, really what they're saying is, if each one of us work on it and change our perception, mm-hmm, of what we think reality is, and so we feel closer, we can each bring Mashiach in ourselves.
Right.
And
Did you ever see what the Lubavitcher Rebbe, the last year before he got sick, you know, there was 11 months from Chav Ches Nissan, 28th of Nisan, 1991, is a day when the Rebbe said the famous words that to this day nobody knows exactly what the Rebbe meant. He said, I did everything I can to bring Mashiach, and now it's up to you. I can't do any. I tried and I can't do anything. Now it's up to you, to Am Yisrael, to do it. And from that day until he had a stroke 11 months later, he spoke every day about Mashiach. He made the world nuts about Mashiach, mm-hmm, basically, right? And that last year, he said a lot of very, how shall I say, strange things that nobody knew exactly what he meant. And one line that the Rebbe kept saying over and over and over again is like this, Midafnor Efen in the Eugen. You just have to open your eyes and see Mashiach's already here. That's what the Rebbe kept saying over and over again. Mashiach is here, Midafnor Efen in the Eugen. Open your eyes, just open your eyes. He kept saying it. He said, the Rebbe was sitting there. You can understand what everyone was feeling when they were there. The Rebbe was like, the Suez Leviathan, it's all here. Just open your eyes and you'll see it. And everyone's like standing on 770. He's like, what? And the Rebbe was like, over and over, he said, it's here. The light of Mashiach is here. Medav Efen and Oigen. You have to open your eyes.
We have class next week?
You tell me. I know it's Hanukkah, so that's originally we thought there wouldn't be class, but you know, whatever you guys...